When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4 packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Hurry in for exceptional offers through December 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Is it just me, or has TV gotten really complicated? I'm either endlessly searching for my favorite shows or subscribing to a dozen different streaming services to make sure I can watch everything I love. And I'm not even saving that much money compared to my old cable bill. Thankfully, Philo has changed all that for me. One service, all the stuff I need. Philo's got current seasons of the shows I can't miss live on networks like Paramount, A&E, MTV, Discovery, and TLC. Classics like The Office, Martin, and Friends that I never get sick of, and all of the incredible originals on AMC Plus, from Mad Men to Orphan Black. Don't forget their library of more than 75,000 movies and shows, all of which I can save and re-watch anytime for a whole year. Never miss a minute of shows like Gypsy Rose, Life After Lockup on Lifetime, Yellowstone, or Fatal Attraction. Best of all, with Philo, you get all this for just $28 a month. No contracts, no hassles. Just one subscription and a world of entertainment. So go to philo.tv and check it out for a free 7-day trial. That's philo.tv to start watching.
Sports Radio 610 presents Seth Payne and Sean Pendergast.
We coming to H-Time. Let's get the work in, man. Let's go.
Great day. Great day. Oh, give me some juice, baby.
Oh, yeah.
41 seconds to go. Levis approaches the line of scrimmage, takes the snap, takes a knee. It is over. The Houston Texans get upset by the Tennessee Titans, 32-27, squandering opportunity after opportunity and seeing their record drop to 7-5 with another division matchup with Jacksonville on the road coming up.
It's a disappointing loss for us. We didn't do anything well enough to win this game. Out of all the positives that we did have, there are way too many negatives, right? Too many negative plays, right? We score, we get a penalty, we get touchdowns called back, get penalties on special teams. It's just way too many negative plays defensively, like unexplainable, right? Explosives for touchdowns. It's just, we didn't play good across the board, and that starts with me, obviously, and no, we weren't ready to go as a team, so that starts with me.
It does indeed. Welcome in, everybody, on a Reaction Monday here on Sports Radio 610. Good to be with you. Appreciate you getting up with us, with you for the next couple hours here on Sports Radio 610. I am Sean Pendergast. He is Seth Payne. How are you doing this morning, my friend?
I'm miserable, Sean. Okay. I'm absolutely miserable. This is, you know why? You know why I'm miserable, especially? Because this is exactly the kind of game where afterwards, somebody that expected the Titans to win can very, very easily say, well, what'd you expect? Because really, every single thing that I worried about going into this game where I said, hey, this could be a good gauge, even though the Titans are a bad team, the Titans do some things that the Texans have struggled with, and then boom, oh, shot plays by the offense. Yep, there you go. By the Titans
offense, yeah.
You know, yeah, the defense susceptible to big plays. That, okay, got that. All right. Are you able to run the ball versus a team with a physically dominant defensive line? Not even close.
How'd that go?
Not even close. Yeah, yeah. Lions, Vikings, the Texans have been able to do a single damn thing against them. All of Joe Mixon's powers are rendered moot. Or mute. Whichever one's proper there.
Whichever one is the worst one, yeah. Exactly.
Hey, you guys have gotten bitten by injuries before. Have you fixed that? Oh, sure, we got that. No, you don't have that fixed whatsoever. But then the weirdest thing is damn Kyme Fairbairn missing a 28-yard field goal on a day that he sets a record for, or ties a record for 50-plus yard field goals.
Yep, for the season. Yeah.
Am I missing one of the obvious things? I feel like I'm missing one. Oh, well, CJ just not being himself.
Well, and throw in penalties, too, because they had 9 penalties in the second half of this football game, and none of them came at a time, it felt like at least, where the penalties were, you know, somewhat benign. Like, oh, okay, it's a false start at midfield. It's 1st and 15 at our own 45 now. No. You got illegal blindside blocks on the last drive of the game, so you were starting at the 8 instead of the 27-yard line. You know, you were getting holding penalties. There's never a good time for a holding penalty, and this offensive line has holding penalties in it. Back-to-back false starts to turn a 3rd and 6 into a 3rd and 16 at midfield. You know, you have a nice list. I'll throw the penalties in there with it as well.
Like the procedural stuff, and this is where it all comes back on Bobby Slowick. Look, whenever you're looking at something and it's really hard to define exactly what's wrong with it, hell yeah, blame the manager. You walk into a restaurant and everything's just a little bit off. Like, this is the worst Denny's I've ever been in. Fire the manager.
Yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, I can't take, Sean, I cannot take seeing another Nico Collins huge play
called back
for something damn procedural.
Right.
Including last week with Laremy Tunsil.
Yes.
Too far downfield. Simple. That's a detail. Fix that. Don't execute like a bunch of slack-jawed idiots out there. You get another Nico Collins back because of illegal motion, 2 men in motion.
Yeah.
All this idiotic, inane stuff.
Yep.
Yeah, you're going to lose. You're going to lose versus the Titans. You're going to lose. Oh, okay,
lose to the Jags on Sunday if you do this stuff on the road.
Hey, what's this team going to do in their playoffs? Do you think they'll run up against a team that has good defensive linemen at some point? Hey, do you think they might run up against a team that can kill you with shot plays offensively? Where in the playoffs are they going to face a quarterback as good as Will Levis? You know, so 100%. We wondered, okay, how much could you actually learn from a game versus the Titans? We learned a lot. Yeah, they are not ready for prime time.
We did.
They are regressing and getting worse as the season goes along. They've lost 4 of their last 6 games.
Yep.
They're not a good football team.
They're not. They're not. And here is the biggest concern for me. This is by far the biggest concern, is that the two biggest beacons of hope for this franchise starting last season in training camp were D'Amico Ryans as the head coach and C.J. Stroud as the quarterback. And both, and D'Amico asked us to put it on him in that cut we played in coming in, they are both showing serious flaws right now. I'll start with D'Amico, and this is a big one. I have serious questions right now. There's a lot that comes with D'Amico Ryans that's really, really good. And a lot of it we don't see on a day-to-day basis because it's the rejuvenation of the building and the franchise as a whole. And I acknowledge that those things are important. I think that energy is a lot of what fueled you to getting to 10-7 last year with a very young football team. I acknowledge that that is important, and it will be important moving forward. And this is not me bailing on D'Amico Ryans. But I have serious questions. The things you're talking about, Seth, the list that you had are systemic things that have reared their heads all year long, particularly on the offensive side of the ball. And the solution has been to continue to trot out the same thing every week, the same scheme, the same methodology, the same mentality, the same guys every single week. I have serious questions as to whether D'Amico Ryans is what I'll call a wartime consigliere. You see the movie The Godfather, and remember they fired Tom, the lawyer who was the consigliere to Vito Corleone, because, hey man, you're a great consigliere when times are good and business is booming, but when things are going a little sideways and you need a little bit more meanness, a little more gumption, a little more got to make some changes here, you're not the right guy. And I'm not saying fire D'Amico Ryans, but what I am saying is there are questions right now as to whether or not he's the right kind of head coach to solve these serious problems that they have right now, because there have not been any solutions yet. The only change that's been made is because C.J. Stroud landed on top of Kenyon Green on a play that Kenyon Green screwed up. Other than that, it's the same stuff on the offensive side of the ball. People can point the finger at Bobby Slowick. This is D'Amico Ryans' problem too, and it might even be a bigger D'Amico Ryans' problem now. That's my question. Like, dude, this is the first serious thing you've had to fix with this team since you got... Last year was a honeymoon. Stuff could go wrong and we didn't care. People care this year. And I think you're doing a pretty good job as a defensive coordinator. Big plays allowed notwithstanding. By and large, this defense has been very good. The offense has not, and the offense is getting worse. And that goes to the second thing. C.J. Stroud is getting worse. On your watch, the rookie of the year was outplayed by Will Levis yesterday.
Yeah.
It's unacceptable.
It wasn't particularly close. You know, CJ's interceptions CJ's interceptions over the last few weeks have been decidedly non-rookie CJ Stroud interceptions. I think they're ones that he wouldn't have thrown in his rookie season. Yeah, this is spiraling quickly. The only good thing that I heard once yesterday was when Jimmy Ward was on the post game with you and Clint, and he said, "Hey," and Jimmy's about as honest as it gets. I mean, he was very open about his own bad play early in the game, but just that there's no chatter from guys, you know, whining about this, whining about that, at least not that he's heard. So, like, the core DNA of the team, it's not like it's a bad team full of bad dudes, but they have severe underperformances offensively right now, and none of it's getting better.
No.
And the problem is, when you look at the offensive linemen individually, one by one, there are plenty of good teams that have average offensive linemen out there, but who aren't just so routinely getting eviscerated and or making idiotic plays that make it. And they're just, they've shown no, okay, you're not a big physical offensive line, then you've got to show some level of expertise and scrappiness or what have you in developing an outside zone run game. They do nothing. They do nothing.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
If you've ever wondered about the dark psychology behind history's most notorious murderers, Mind of a Serial Killer is the podcast for you. Find Mind of a Serial Killer on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This was, of all the things D'Amico said in the postgame, I thought he had some good things to say. This one was not one of them. This was not his finest moment as the head coach of this team. Sorry about that. That was not my finest moment as a host. This was not D'Amico's finest moment. He put the loss on the defense yesterday.
The concern for me is we need to play complementary football, right? We play complementary football, we win games. When we don't, we're not relying on one side, right, to carry the entire team. So whatever happens, our offense gave us enough points to win the game. So that starts with the defense. We didn't do enough to stop them. We didn't stop the run, and we didn't run the ball well. And we gave up way too many points on defense. So our offense did plenty. They gave us enough points. And defense, we have to be able to stop them.
I was shocked by that. I was shocked.
The offense gave you 20 points.
I was shocked. The offense gave you 20 points. They didn't give you 27. The defense gave you 7 of those. They gave you 20 points. I was shocked. You don't have to point fingers at one side or the other. Like, you can say that both sides, because the defense did some good things, but yes, ultimately, those back-breaking huge plays count for the defense. I totally understand. Complementary football can be bad complementary football, too. It can be a thing where all sides have failed, including special teams, by the way. Kyme Fairbairn, last I checked, is a specialist. He shanked a 28-yard field goal. The offense got gifted 10 points, but they got gifted 7 points by Jimmy Ward on a pick six. As far as the points the offense actually scored, they had a one-play drive in the first 15 seconds of the game, thanks to Damian Pierce on an 80-yard kickoff return. And then they got gifted a possession on a muffed punt where they managed 4 plays for 7 yards and kicked a 54-yard field goal. Like, that's half the points they scored. They had a 78-yard drive for a touchdown. Other than that,
In the first half, perchance?
It was in the first half, Seth.
Yeah, that's when it happened.
I promise you it's not in the second half of any of these games. Other than that, the longest drive they had was a 55-yard drive for a field goal. Like that's
yeah. I'll tell you another one.
Point the finger at the defense as opposed to the offense?
Especially when, my God, is there anything worse than a Texans takeaway on defense these days? Because you can just dial up 3 points at best.
Yeah,
out
at
of
best.
The offense,
right?
Like, oh boy, here we go.
Yeah.
Just wait. We're going to have a 6-play, 9-yard drive somehow because at some point an offensive lineman's going to get penalized.
Yeah.
And,
yep.
Oh, I'll tell you, the most frustrating and infuriating one, this goes on Bobby Slowick and D'Amico, is just simply that fourth and short on your own 40, decide whether to go for it or not. CJ's looking to the sideline for a call.
Yeah.
Instead, you roll
it's a clown
out.
Clown operation.
You bring the punt team out there, and they take a delay of game.
Yeah.
What the hell's going on?
It's a clown operation.
What the hell is going on?
Yeah. It's yesterday. Not over. I mean, yesterday was a clown operation on every level. You lost to the Tennessee Titans and Will Levis at home, and Will Levis pieced you. So yeah, I'm not sitting here saying no. It's not. It was the offense, not the defense. It was both.
It was both. Right. The defense. I mean, how many times, as Cody Stutes pointed out this yesterday, like you're getting to the point now where historically, how many teams have been this weird? You've lost a game where you had 5 interceptions on defense and still managed to lose that. You have 8 sacks yesterday.
7
eight
in the
sacks.
First half? It's 7
you
in the first half.
8 sacks yesterday and yet got pieced by the guy who had gotten sacked 8 times. Right. Will Levis started off, what was the streak? 11 for 11? Did it go beyond that?
He,
I can't even remember.
He was 9 for 9 and 11 for 12 at points that I looked at the box score. Yeah, he was 11 for 12 at halftime. When he wasn't getting sacked, he was completing big chunk plays down the field. It was one or the other. All right, we got a lot to get to. You mentioned Jimmy Ward, Seth. I want to get to that. Jimmy Ward, we had our best post-game show interview yesterday, I thought. Jimmy Ward was brutally honest with something that we've been pointing out about this team. We've been told, hey man, win's a win. Win's a win. Jimmy Ward was brutally honest in the postgame show yesterday, I thought, about how this team has handled their business this year. And will it change? We'll hear from Texan safety Jimmy Ward coming up next.